Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, are available on Spotify. Well, friends, we made it through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you got your shot. And hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully you got to watch some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we will get to your list very soon. We'll get to the grab a pencil portion of the show. It's just you and me, so fairly short show. But I will tell you what I've been watching this week and then what's going on around town for virtual and physical events. So opening up this weekend is a film called The Killing of Two Lovers. And this is from writer-director Robert McCoyan. And I am apologizing in advance if I'm butchering the names. With a name like Soci, I gotta get better at this. Watching this film, especially from the opening scene where a husband with a gun in his hand is watching his wife, not his ex-wife, his wife and her lover in bed asleep. That's where it starts. And as we find out as time goes on, that they live in a small town in Utah, and they are doing a trial separation, and they agree to see other people. He isn't. She is. And watching this, I am reminded of the feeling of dread one gets watching a film like Hereditary or Midsommar, only this time it's a marriage with kids, three young boys and a teenage daughter who's just not having any of it. Really good performances from Clayne Crawford, from Sapita Moafi, and Chris Coy, who is the third wheel in this. And a lot of long, and the film's only less than 90 minutes, which really packs a punch. There's really uncomfortable scenes involving the couple doing a date night where they just go in a pickup truck and they wind up not going out to dinner. They just wind up staying close to the house. Really long single take scenes. Whether it's mobile or not. So there's a little Cassavetes feel of it for me. The sense of dread is there without turning into an episode of Cops, without turning into a reality television as far as... And it doesn't go into beyond blue-collar stereotypes. There's the uncomfortable feeling throughout the film. It gets about halfway through the film when tensions start to get ugly. He is trying to not make her the victim. He's trying to do the right thing, but his ego just gets in the way too much. And so it is, and I will tell you this, there is no, not really a spoiler alert, but it is, but it isn't. There's no clean end to this. And it's really tense to watch, and I was really glad I got to check it out. So be on the lookout for The Killing of Two Lovers. Should be available streaming as well as at your local art house. Catching up on a couple of titles, I will do some more laugh-in information in a little bit. But from Film Movement is a Dutch thriller, revenge thriller called The Communist, The Columnist. I feel like I'm on the score. But we have a TV columnist and a writer who becomes obsessed with the online comments about her, the really ugly ones, and through good investigative journalism, finds out who some of these people are, Some of them are closer than she than they appear or need to be, and starts taking revenge on him in a series of incidents that wind up getting dubbed the Middle Finger Murders. And this is the first revenge film I've seen since Promising Young Female. While it's not to that level of excellence, it's a pulpy B-movie one that I hope does not get remade here in the States. It could, it shouldn't. It decides to just be more of, I think it's more of a revenge film than a message film. We do get a little bit of message at the end as far as just something as simple as being nice to one another. But there's some pretty cool scenes as far as tension between victim and stalker. And there's a nice homage to Sunset Boulevard at the end. We get our film message by a woman in a white suit with a shotgun, among other things. So anyway, if you're in for a pulpy revenge flick, check out The Columnist, courtesy of Film Movement. Also from them is a film called Lapsus, an American film, which looks like it's set in modern day or the very near future as far as Big Brother and how they're taking over, looking over all of us. We have a guy named Ray, working guy with a record. He's described as having a 70s mobster vibe. Doesn't want to take the new computer that's taking over the globe. Actually winds up taking the phone as well as taking a job with the computer company. One of those jobs where you're laying cable across rough terrain and things are not what they seem. Things as far as the phone knows when you're sitting down to rest, knows about your account, adds currency to your account. One of those inside worlds as far as work. That is probably already happening. It feels like a future, near futuristic film, but it's probably happening right now. So an intriguing look into that world called Lapsus. All right, I'm working on season three and working on season four of Laugh-In'. And so here's the deal, folks, if those who've not chimed in, who've not listened to the last few episodes, I'm currently going through the complete series of Laugh-In, courtesy of Time Life Home Video, and checking on the number of movie stars and other actors and actresses of note that pop up in the show, and especially if they're known for their film work, what film would they be promoting by appearing on Laugh-In? Now, there's been moments of actors mentioning something they just finished. One of the great examples is Tony Curtis doing Laugh-In to promote the Boston Strangler, among other things. Peter Sellers brings up the Magic Christian. So does Ringo Starr, which we'll get to in a second. But not all of them plug, but some I'm like, okay, you're there because you want to get the word out. So going back to season three, which is 1969, 1970, Carl Reiner shows up. And, of course, he was an actor and writer on The Comic as well as Generation. He was an actor in Generation. I need to revisit The Comic. That's the one with Dick Van Dyke as a silent movie comedian, and now he's great on screen but, you know, miserable person off screen, the show business story. Jim Backus, and yeah, there's some Mr. Magoo moments in an episode of Laugh-In', but he had done in 1969 Hello Down There, and a year later would play the doctor in the much joked about film of the much joked about book Myra Breckinridge. So there's a tie in there. Ringo Starr shows up and appears in the Magic Christian. There's a joke made about the Wild Bunch. There's also a classroom sketch where, and by the way, it's not really a sketch, it's just a short bit. But they're students are asked name three famous Indians, and the answers were Burt Lancaster, Richard Widmark, Tony Curtis. Check it out, kids. Danny Kaye shows up, and that year he was working on the film version of The Mad Woman of Shalott. Mickey Rooney also appeared in The Comic, as well as 80 Steps to Jonah and Extraordinary Seamen. There's a spoof of 007. As I mentioned, Peter Sellers appears. He would later work with Goldie Hawn in There's a Girl in My Soup. More laughs taken at Otto Preminger's expense because he appeared on the show. Going into season four, 1970, 1971, there's an interesting one that one of the first episodes of that season, Art Carney makes an appearance. Now, he had made some appearances on the Jackie Gleason show, not just the Honeymooners. And he wouldn't do a film of note, really, until he won Best Actor in 1974 for Harry and Tonto. But there's a sketch there's a bit with Art Carney and Lily Tomlin, who would later team up again in the 1977 film The Late Show. I need to revisit that one as well. Much underrated picture there. Don Rickles shows up. He was doing Kelly's Heroes. Johnny Brown makes a great joke about the film Watermelon Man that had come out at that time. There was a recurring bit involving two men and two women supposedly playing Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. There's an episode where Goldie Hawn returns to the show. She had just won a Best Supporting Actress award at the Oscars for Cactus Flower. And it's a fun send-up because she gets the Red Cartman treatment, walks in with the Oscar in her hand, and doesn't recognize anybody and treats everybody badly because she's a big celebrity. Big funny joke there. As I mentioned, that later that year she would appear in There's a Girl in My Soup with Peter Sellers. Zero Mostel shows up. He was doing the film The Angel Levine. Their Halloween episode, Orson Welles shows up. He would direct his film The Deep. No, not that one with Jacqueline Bisset. That would be an interesting combination. But he would also appear in the films Catch-22, Waterloo, The Kremlin Letter, and Start the Revolution Without Me. Vincent Price shows up because it's the Halloween episode. There was the film An Evening of Edgar Allan Poe, Scream and Scream Again, and Cry of the Banshee. There's a joke made about Dr. Doolittle. Carol Channing shows up in an episode, and one of the actors players came up and said, I saw a movie that you would have been great in, Hello, Dolly. And she takes it like a sport. See, I butchered the joke because I'm not a pro. Bob Newhart mentions it is mentioned in the film he did called Cold Turkey. That's the one I believe it's him and Dick Van Dyke. An entire town tries to quit smoking. Newhart would also show up in Catch-22. Ricardo Montalban does the film The Devil's Backbone. Peter Lawford shows up again, and of course there's One More Time, the sequel to Salt and Pepper, this one directed by Jerry Lewis. He also appears in the film Togetherness. Gore Vidal gets a cameo. William F. Buckley will get one in a few weeks, which I haven't gotten to that episode yet, but there's a phone conversation between Lily from the telephone company and Gore Vidal. Of course, his novel, Myra Breckinridge, is made into a famous, controversial, and ridiculous film. And a couple other notes. And finally, in episode 13, Phil Silvers makes an appearance the year he did The Boatniks. So, yeah, that's Laugh-In, the complete series of Laugh-In, courtesy of Time Life Home Video. I'll finish up season 4 and see what happens between now and next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. I want to get to one dead person we like because we have an audio tribute for another dead person we like because we never have time for dead people we don't like. But actor Norman Lloyd passed away. 70 years in show business, died at age 106. Not bad. Got your money's worth, sir. Did a lot of stage and screen work as an actor, as a director. His big film debut in 1942 in Alfred Hitchcock's Saboteur. Also appeared in noted films like Spellbound, of course, The Green Years, The Beginning of the End, Calamity Janes and Sam Bass, Scene of the Crime, Buccaneers Girl, the American remake of M in 1951, Charlie Chaplin's Limelight in 1952, and then all the way up to wound up doing a lot of TV and doing theater, would pop up in 1977 in Audrey Rose, FM, was in The Nude Bomb, I'm not making this up, Jaws of Satan from 1981 for you HBO fans out there, played Mr. Nolan in Dead Poets Society, Mr. Letter Blair in Martin Scorsese's film version of The Age of Innocence, played the professor in Her Shoes, his final credit in 2015 playing Norman in Trainwreck. So Norman Lloyd, salute to you, sir. All right, going over to IU Cinema, running through May 19th virtually, the 1938 film version of Pygmalion. And yes, for you fans of musicals, that's My Fair Lady. Tuesday, May 18th, the special virtual event at 7 o'clock. This is The President's Choice from 1983, Federico Fellini's And the Ship Sails On. You can see, hear my review of this, or read my review of this, I should say, on the Filmy app from the Fellini box set. It's I believe, to take a line from Jeff Daniels in Squid and the Whale, it's minor Fellini. Tuesday the 25th, special virtual event at 7 o'clock, IU 2020 Part 4. So that's pretty much through the month of May. So that is happening over at IU Cinema. Over at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin, if you're listening to this tonight, if you're listening to this on a Friday, well, thank you. But Saturday at 2 and 7:30 p.m. on Saturday the 15th, The Wizard of Oz. On May 21st and 22nd, 2 and 7:30 p.m., One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. May 28th and 29th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Back to the Future. That is for the month of May at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin. Of course, Indie Film Festival is still going on. That is running through May 19th. You can go to indiefilmfest.org for all the virtual information and all the cool stuff happening there. At the Tibbs Drive-In this weekend, they are showing Wrath of Man and Snatch for you Guy Ritchie fans out there. Friday, May 21st, Airplane and the Naked Gun. So, yeah, you get a couple oldies there on the big screen. Saturday, May 22nd, they're doing The Silence of the Night. So a series of silent movies happening at Skyline Drive-In. Nosferatu, Phantom of the Opera, and live accompaniment. So that's going to be very cool over at the Skyline Drive-In. Wednesday, May 26th, they're going to be showing Phantasm and Brain Damage. Here's the one that's really intriguing me, and mark your calendars on this. Wednesday, June 23rd, The Killing of a Chinese Bookie, the John Cassavetes film with Ben Gazzara, and Cutting Class. I don't know how this got paired up. I don't know why, but color me intrigued, especially with Killing of the Chinese Bookie. Cutting Class, that is one of Brad Pitt's early films. But yeah, not sure how these two got hooked up. But, yeah, go for it. So, yeah, Killing of the Chinese Bookie and Cutting Class, Wednesday, June 23rd at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. Over at the Tibbs, besides the Thursday events of Indie Film Fest, on Screen 1, Those Who Wish Me Dead and Separation. On Screen 2, Wrath of Man and White People Money. Screen 3, Spiral and The Gin. And Screen 4, Here Today, and The Waterman, all happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. All right, friends, let's go to Twitter and then Facebook and find out what you've been watching. This is the grab-a-pencil portion of the show. Of course, my list is a grab-a-pencil portion as well, if you like. Thank you. And we start on Twitter. Missy Rump writes, Wonder Wheel, which I liked very much, and finally got around to Rocket Man. Tony F. writes, it's probably been 20-plus years, but I rewatched The Philadelphia Story. It's simply amazing. Yes, it is, Tony. World Cinema Programmer at Indie Film Fest. This Is My Desire, which is a fantastic Nigerian film playing at Indie Film Fest. Are people trying to figure out how to get the solution to the situation? It's about people trying to figure out how to get out of situations they are in. And also ask, how often do you get to see Nigerian films? Thank you, World Cinema Programmer. Creighton Duke writes, Martha, Marcy May, Marlene, which I think has now solidified its place as one of my favorite movies of the last decade. Also, Spiral from the Book of Saw, which I thought squandered a really inspired premise. I read the review of that in the AV Club. They agree with you on that. Dave Glenn writes, Godfather Part 1, a Paramount stream. One of the best. Love how they convey a long story of family and make you suddenly empathize in a few short scenes at the beginning of the movie. Beautifully filmed masterpiece. Thank you, Dave. Let's see. And I think that might be... Indiana Pizza Club writes, Nomadland, Killers from 2010, On the Rocks, and Avengers Age of Ultron. Mary writes, Nomadland and Above Suspicion. Thank you, Mary. And I think that might be it. Yes, that is it for all the Twitter pieces there. Going to Facebook, Joshua writes, The Mitchells versus the Machines. It was a fantastic choice for the family on a rainy Mother's Day. Sometimes that's all it takes, Josh. So thank you, Joshua. Don Hipschweiler, our very own Don Hipschweiler, The Death of Mr. Lazarsu. And I'm butchering that, sorry. Stephen writes, The Father, Damsel, Wolf Song, La Petite Lily, Uncle Vanya, the PBS adaptation that was on stage at the Harold Pinter in London, and The Exterminating Angel. Thank you, Stephen. Ryan writes, Greenland, The Bank Job, and Without Remorse. Eric writes, Network. Judy writes, Ken Burns, Here and There, and Amazing Grace. Mark writes, Boyhood. Joe writes, Green Zone, Miles Davis, Birth of the Cool, Rush, State of Play, The Breakfast Club, Internship, Major Dundee, Greater, and Mystic River. Sean writes, Return to Oz, and Marianne jumps in, one of my family's favorites. So many quotes continue to be in our family. Wow. Can't be helped now, Jack. Ranks right up there with As You Wish from The Princess Bride. Thank you, my lord. Andrew writes, Trumbo, and They'll Love Me When I'm Dead. Nikki writes, I can't stop watching the train wreck that is Shameless to watch anything else. My daughter's with you on that, Nikki. It's okay. Rachel writes, Nezha and the Mark of Zorro. Andrea writes, The Green Mile. Megan writes, High School Musical 2. Wow. You have a kid at home. Scooter writes, The Mitchells versus the Machines on Netflix. It's quite good. Patty writes, The Pink Panther Strikes Again and The China Syndrome. And then she wrote, Jack Lemmon in a serious role. Whoa. And I told her about his best acting performance. Well, his best actor winning performance in Save the Tiger. Pretty bleak film. Still excellent. Alan writes, Limbo. It is gently sad and sweet. Eric writes, Soul, Pieces of a Woman, The Man Who Never Was, Angel Face, 28 Days, and a new Blu-ray of Once Upon a Time in the West. He deemed it pretty. It has both the theatrical version and the restoration. He watched the restoration. Thank you, Eric. Lisa writes, Hashi, A Dog's Tale. That gets a lump in my throat when I watch it. I have it on Blu-ray. Carrie writes, Ant-Man and the Wasp, as well as Thunder Force. Michael writes, Fahrenheit 451, the 2018 version, made for HBO, East of Eden, The Sound of Music, Cabaret, and RBG. Chris Lloyd writes, Army of Darkness, The Djinn, Before I'm Dead, The Killing of Two Lovers, and a bunch of Indie Film Fest shorts and features. Thank you, Chris. Janet writes, West Side Story, My Fair Lady, The Rainmaker, Beverly Hills Cop, 48 Hours, In-N-Out, and The Namesake. Kara writes, Victor Victoria with my 13-year-old who was surprised that, oh, yeah, as far as derogatory terms. Yeah, it happens. Matthew writes, Stowaway. These astronauts made so many mistakes they deserve to die in the cold vacuum of space. Didn't watch to the end, so I'm guessing they made it. Don't care. Wow. All right. Lou Harry, our very own Lou Harry, writes a bunch of Indie Film Fest documentaries. Stephen Stolen of Stolen Moments writes Mrs. Doubtfire. Dylan writes Reefer Madness, the movie musical. Rebecca writes a few Indie Film Fest movies. Workhorse Queen, drag queens, especially Mrs. Cassie Davis from RuPaul's Drag Race. Inspector Ike and El Rey de la Fiesta. Plus the film festival's comedy shorts block featuring a Will Ferrell comedy called David. Doug writes, these are all from Turner Classic Movies Classic Film Festival. Victim, Love Story, Mean Streets, Ball of Fire, Plan 9 from Outer Space, way to go TCM, Daughters of the Dust, Speedy, I Love Trouble, 1948, The China Syndrome, So This is Paris, Places in the Heart, and To Sleep with Anger. Thank you, Doug. Taylor writes, Crimson Peak, Red 2, Some Like It Hot, Poirot, The Mysterious Affairs at Styles, Nightmare Alley, and Forbidden Planet. Michelle writes, Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies, Vantage Point, Without Remorse, and Minority Report. Mario writes, The Maltese Falcon, Citizen Kane, and Airplane. Brian writes, I've watched Without Remorse on Prime Video. Amy writes, The Crime of the Century, an HBO documentary. So interesting. Molly writes Irresistible, Hunt for the Wilder People, and Tangled. Tony writes Parasite, Pleasantville, and Loving Vincent. Jessica writes Hamilton, Trial of the Chicago 7, and One Night in Miami. Andra Faye writes The Last Picture Show. Brian writes, finally got around to watching Garden State after 17 years. I expected a quirky rom-com. Got a lot more. And it adds, might break out Saboteur in honor of Norman Lloyd. Thank you, Brian. Kathy writes Mull Flanders. This is the one with Morgan Freeman and Robin Wright. Daniel writes Stage Beauty, Separate Tables, one with Julie Christie, New York, I Love You. And then he adds, the reviews for this were poor to mix, but I quite liked it. Copycat, Beverly Hills Cop, Barefoot in the Park, In Dreams, Jagged Edge, Rio, I Love You, another one that got negative reviews, but I liked it, The Wizard of Oz, Conspirator, The Opposite Sex, Vera Cruz, and The Sound of Music. Thank you, Daniel. Lila writes, 40-year-old version. Jeff writes, Cabin Boy. Want to buy a monkey? Kelsey writes, The Paper Tigers. Frank writes, I finally saw Michael Palin's The Missionary, a well-done, stylish English comedy. Brent writes, St. Elmo's Fire. Oh, boy. Brent writes, we're still binging Game of Thrones, but Jaws, Robin Hood, Disney version, King Arthur, the Guy Ritchie version, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mike writes, we watched a French film called The Two of Us. That was great. Kim's funny. No films. We've been watching the Swedish series, The Restaurant. Our time is now. Most enjoyable series. Cheers. Lawrence writes Nashville. Jamie writes Endgame and Sandition. Adam writes The Darkest Hour. Andrew writes The Birdcage. Gary writes X-Men, X-Men Days of Future Past, and Excalibur. Jared writes The Warriors. Joan writes, I got sucked into watching Weekend at Bernie's last night. It was an 80s bonanza. I'm sure it was, Joan. Terry writes, The Last Czars, episodes 4 through 6. Tanner 88, episodes 3 and 4. 1968's Five Card Stud and 1978's California Split. Salute to George Segal. Amanda writes, Deliverance, Midnight Cowboy, and Bill and Ted Face the Music. Phil writes, The Whole Truth, and We Have Always Lived in the Castle. Susan writes Mimic and the Brendan Fraser version of The Mummy. Robin writes The Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane. Ooh, boy. Jody and Martin there. Mary writes Children of the Corn 2. Joe writes Good Morning Vietnam on TCM. I miss Robin Williams. That movie still holds up. Thank you, Joe. Chris writes The Sting. Tommy writes Training Day, one of Denzel's best performances, in my opinion. Darlene writes Tina, the documentary. Amber writes Nightcrawler. Bonnie writes Mitchells versus the Machines. Thomas writes West Side Story and Spy. Moveen writes This Was Documentary Week. For me, Margaret Atwood, A Word After a Word, After a Word is Power, How It Feels to Be Free, and Billy. There's only one, and if you don't know, who do you need to review? Okay. Adam writes The Paper Tigers and also Another Pair of Aces. Brock writes Sound of Metal, Hook, Tree of Life, Return of the Jedi, and The Birdcage. Austin Glidden, go check out the Medium Cool podcast, as well as Midwest Film Journal and the Film App. The Get Together, The Chaser, and First Reformed, which was my top film of that year. Very cool. And that's it. There we go. So there you go, friends. I hope you... Hope your pencil got some work done there, and hopefully you got to watch, get some ideas or be inspired, and hopefully we'll do another week of watching good films that are at least new or new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Thanks for listening. We're going to end this week's Film Sociology with a little audio tribute to model and actress Tawny Katane. That's right. Yes. Go to Nathan Rabin's Happy Place to read about the Gwendolyn film that she starred in. And, of course, she appeared in films like Crystal Heart, Happy Hour, Witchboard, White Hot. You get the idea. But, of course, she's best known in two aspects. Cinema-wise, for me, she's always going to be Debbie Thompson, Tom Hanks' fiance in Bachelor Party. And, of course, appearing on the first two album covers for Rat, and, of course, the one in the Whitesnake videos. So, and not just Here I Go Again, although that's the one that's best known, that launched 1,000 car hoods. So anyway, I was a teenager. I think I was 16 when that video came out. Thanks, Tawny. Anyway, until next time, take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan. And if you're a fan of The Fighter, here's Mark Wahlberg's intro music. It was also used at the end of Disney's Penguins documentary. Just saying. Enjoy.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!